The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
Jasper!
Hey, Murray.
Jasper!
Hey, Murray.
Jasper!
Hey, Murray.
Jasper!
Jasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. All right, let's get back to the matter at hand here. Divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Another one of my favorite weekends on the sports calendar. Wild card weekend, divisional round playoffs. It's the best. You get two straight days of this, and last week really lived up to the hype too. I thought all of those games. We sat here last week, and I was saying I think you could make a case, and shame on me for including the Houston Texans. Oh my God, what a wretched franchise! Bill O'Brien stinks. But I said you could maybe make a case for any of those teams making a deep run and even going to the Super Bowl. Houston, take them out of the equation, but I thought that was proven because all those games played out to be pretty entertaining. The Eagles, they still won't go away. But today you have the Colts and Chiefs on tap first, coming up right around 4:35, followed by the Cowboys and Rams. And, of course, right around this time tomorrow is when the Patriots will be kicking off against the L.A. Chargers at Gillette Stadium, followed by the Saints and the Eagles. Just quickly, we keep looking up here. We have NFL Network on in the studio. Man, the atmosphere for this Chiefs-Colts game is going to be awesome. I don't know how much it's really going to benefit the Chiefs, considering they don't have Kareem Hunt, but looks like it's just going to be like
Winter Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland. They're dealing with a lot of snow in that part of the country right now, and from everything that I've been reading online, and you know, we're watching NFL Network here, at least for the first part of this game, it's going to continue to snow. So I like the Colts in this game. I do. And it has more to do about history. And this is what I think history is what's looming over the AFC bracket more than anything else with these two games, because you have the Chiefs, who haven't won a home playoff game. It's Joe Montana in the 93 season, which is so crazy considering how talented some of those teams have been. They've never beat the Colts in the playoffs. And then tomorrow you have the history that looms over the Chargers and how they continue to charger things up anytime that they get into the playoffs. And Phillip Rivers 0-7 all time against Tom Brady with the Patriots. So feels like something would have to give, right? Typically, I feel that way, like something's going to have to give. I'm sorry, I don't. I think the Colts go in there and upset the Chiefs today, and I think that history continues with a Patriots win tomorrow. I do, and as bullish as I've been on the Chargers this whole year, I've agreed with you, Chris, in that the Thursday night win, the comeback win over the Chiefs towards the end of the season, the game that they won against Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football, hell, even going into Seattle, which tough place to play, week 9. Like, they've had some of the more impressive wins in the league this season.
Absolutely.
They're the most complete team on paper in the AFC, maybe even in the NFL this year.
They tried to charger it up last week against Baltimore. Holy crap. That fourth quarter, I was cockily tweeting at that point, like, oh, look who's 3-0 with their pick so far. And then that fourth quarter, it's like, oh, my God, they're doing it again. Holy crap.
And if that were the Patriots would have won that game.
100%.
And yeah, that's what I think is ultimately going to happen tomorrow. Yep, I think it's going to be a rock fight. Yes, I think it's going to be, you know, an ulcer-inducing type of game. But ultimately, Phillip Rivers in a game like this is good for a pick or two, and the Patriots will make them pay.
Even if it's not Rivers, it could be a fumble, it could be
right,
a penalty. I think this will be another one of the Patriots' great escapes at Gillette. You know, that's what I think it will be. I think the Chargers are the more talented team at this point, even with some of their injuries. But the Patriots, that's part of their MO, is defeating more talented teams that just make that one mistake or that can't execute for 60 minutes or that relax. And I think that sort of fits the Chargers' personality here. I think one of the big things in this game, what's going to be really interesting for me, Jim, is how good are the Chargers' receivers? Because I think they're very good. And teams,
who scares you the most? Allen?
Probably Mike Williams. Allen's the best, but I think the Patriots are going to take him away. I'm curious who draws Mike Williams. Is it J.C. Jackson or is it Jason McCourty? Which one of those guys has Mike Williams? Because I think he can just go up and make some plays. I mean, he had 10 touchdown receptions this year, and he was the guy that they went to when Keenan Allen was out in that Kansas City game. So he scares me. And then, you know, Tyrell Williams is good too. He's a big play receiver.
Yeah.
And then you can even throw – they don't throw to him much, but he played well – in the passing game not when he ran into the end zone for safety, but well in the passing game last year against the Patriots, Travis Benjamin. And to me, the teams that beat the Patriots normally, I think Philadelphia
attack
was an
that
outlet.
Third corner.
Yep, exactly. Like you have to have that second, the Mario Manningham principle. It's kind of one of those things. And I wonder if that's ultimately sort of, how that will play out and what it comes down to. Because I think cornerbacks are real strength of the Patriots, but wide receivers also a real strength of the Chargers. And then you throw in Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates, and what does Gordon do out of the backfield? And that's the Chargers' path, if you ask me.
In terms of their defense, the Patriots did a hell of a job last year in that regular season game neutralizing Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa in that pass rush. I think it was one sack, six tackles, if I recall. How much do they scare you? And that Owosu, their linebacker, they got a real formidable pass rush. How much is that going to factor in tomorrow? Because the Patriots' offensive line did have a pretty solid year.
They did. The question is, how much can I think those guys off the edges aren't going to get there. The Patriots will get the ball out. The question is it like the Baltimore game where they're moving Ingram around and they can get those guys? Is Ingram doing the Jadeveon Clowney thing?
Coming up the middle.
Yeah, and because then I think you could have an issue. And I also think that they have more pass rushers than people think. Obviously, Bosa and Ingram are the headliners, but, Isaac Rochelle's pretty good. You mentioned Owosu, who's really an undersized, pass rusher more than he is a linebacker. They can also bring the defensive backs. Derwin James can get home. Desmond King's really good out of the slot. So they have multiple ways, I think, to put pressure on Brady. They can spin the dial a little bit. It doesn't all have to be just the front four with me, Bain, and Square, and Bosa and Ingram and those guys. So there's multiple ways that they can do that. And then the question there becomes, who gets open fast enough for Brady to get rid of the ball?
Well, this is why I think, and one of the reasons I'm taking them, this is why I think the buy factors in. I've not been a big believer in this team this year. Nailed the 11-5 prediction preseason. Again, a lesser man would sit here and crow about that. I won't do that. I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl and win it. But I like them this week because they will benefit from the buy. I think that guys, the older guys, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, they will benefit from having some time off here. How much do you think that the travel thing might factor in for the Chargers? Because that's been down, Felger downplays that during the week. I've heard others that cover the league say it's not going to be that big of a factor. This Chargers team, they're kind of nomadic. They haven't been.
Yeah.
They have a better road record than they did at home. They don't really have a real fan base. They play in that stupid soccer stadium.
Yeah, they haven't lost outside of, Los Angeles County.
And 9-0 when they step on a plane.
Yeah.
Does that maybe factor in, though, that they have had 2 1 o'clock starts?
It could. Here's where I think it could. In the fourth quarter, if much like the Falcons in Super Bowl 51, it could be a situation where they tire a little bit at the end. The pass rush isn't quite as good. You're not closing ground quite as quickly when you're tackling guys, and so you're giving up extra yardage, and that leads to first downs. That's where I could see it playing a part. But in order for that to be the case, the Patriots have to stay on the field, and they have to be able to string longer drives together.
I'm just happy this game's interesting, Chris. Look, I want the Pats to win. I know sometimes people will find that hard to believe considering some of the things I will say on here, but it's true. I'm still a Pats fan. But this game, at least in recent years, especially last year against the Titans, it's mostly been an extra buy. It's almost been worthless in a lot of ways. That this game is interesting for the first time since, 2014 when they had the Ravens in that game and how ridiculous that was. There's no lambs here on in. If they win this one, an AFC Championship game next year, whether it's in Kansas City or the Colts come here, I don't think that they're the Colts of the past, which have been a laughing stock when they've come in here in the playoffs under Andrew Luck. And then any of the NFC teams, there's no lambs left. If the Patriots were to get to the Super Bowl and actually win it this year, it might be Bill Belichick's greatest accomplishment.
Think so?
It's up there, Chris. 2011 is up there because that team, too, I thought.
31st in defense.
Yeah. They were
Phillip Adams, Antoine Molden, you're trying out those guys. Oof, that was tough.
Thank you, Lee Evans and Billy Kunda for missing that kick.
Sterling Moore, yeah.
Yeah, because Brady not good in that game. So they were lucky to get there, and held up. They were even competitive with that Giants team. That was impressive. One of his greatest accomplishments. They do it this year. To me, it really might be their best.
Wow, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I'd still put, 2011 probably above it. 2006 was an incredible coaching job. 2008 was an incredible, obviously 2001, but... I mean, this is why he's Bill Belichick. The list just goes on and on. But, certainly they're not the normal Patriots, and the margin for error is not what it's been in the past.
Tim McCone, where are you leaning with this? Are you taking the Pats? Do you fear the Chargers?
I'm terrified of the Chargers. Yeah. I think the Chargers come in and manhandle the Patriots tomorrow.
Really?
Really? Yeah, wow. McCone, hot take.
No, I think you guys have talked about it, but they went into Pittsburgh. They went into Kansas City. I mean, they've been unbelievable on the road, and I just don't think this is a normal Patriots team. So I think tomorrow is one of those games where you look back at it and you're like, probably should have seen that coming because the Chargers are a lot more talented than the Patriots are.
Wow. So you see like Melvin, like first handoff, like Melvin Gordon going like Ray Rice.
Right. Is it 21-0 by the time you get to your seats?
Yeah. Like wow. One of those type of, the only way I could see it like getting away from the Chargers is if something fluky happens early on, like Melvin Gordon fumbles and then like the Patriots get up early 7-0 and it kind of gets away from the Chargers. But other than that, if this is just a regular game, no, I think the Chargers win pretty comfortably.
Wow. All right.
Okay.
McCone coming in hot.
Like it. Yeah, McCone.
Well, what do you guys think about tomorrow's game? 617-779-0985. You want to get into matchups, X's and O's, any of that stuff. We want to talk with you. Your thoughts on Patriots Chargers tomorrow. One thing real quick that I've seen, I guess I can't, I'm not that surprised about. Maybe it has something to do with the, I don't know, the ridiculous success that has gone on with this franchise here for near 20 years and people are getting a little bit spoiled. The tickets and the secondary market, generally kind of cheap for a playoff game tomorrow. I think it has to do with the cold more than anything else. With the you know, the innovations that they've made with technology, with televisions, I don't know. Like, I can't blame you sitting home and watching this on your 65-inch flat screen tomorrow rather than freezing your ass off for 4 hours. Love a party. Love a tailgate for those of you that are going to be there tomorrow. Go to the pregame and at Splitsville and join Beadle and Chris and Beadle and myself for the postgame, if you would. But if you stayed home, I wouldn't blame you because the cold is a little bit too much. And as you get old, as an old, let me tell you, you feel it in your bones for days, you do. Your thoughts on tomorrow's game, 617-779-0985. We'll get to you next as we're talking Pats, Chargers, and the rest of the divisional round playoffs in the NFL here on Gasper and Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
1 second to go in an 8-point game. L.A. has it at the Patriot 23. Ball on the right half. Two receivers right. Keenan Allen is back on the field. Trips left. Patriots layer the end zone with defenders. Snap to Rivers. Stands in. Throws it toward the goal line. Yeah. Intercepted. Near side. And taking a knee for the Patriots with a game-sealing interception. Jonathan Jones. He made a great play when the Patriots broke a 7-all tie with a safety. And he comes away with a football in his hands on the last gasp by Rivers and the Chargers. Who again today put forth a valiant effort, only to fall by the narrowest of margins. The Patriots prevail here in Foxborough by the 21-13 score.
It's a one-game season. You got to put it all on the line, whatever you're dealing with. You got to just put it all on the line. You know, if you lose that game, you're going home. So I would just say everyone's just leaving it all out there.
Great team. It's a great matchup. So hopefully we get our best game.
Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski, followed by quarterback Tom Brady, talking about the matchup tomorrow against the L.A. Chargers. And the sound prior to that was last year's game against the Chargers, where the Chargers, again, if you remember, really chargered it up. Credit to Chris Gasper for
that
turn.
Boy, did they ever.
They really did. That stupid team. They just are a dumb team.
Do you know what the worst play to me was? The worst play in that game. Obviously, the Benjamin thing was bad. But Tyrell Williams just losing track of the sideline, running his route out of bounds, untouched.
Right.
And he had the touchdown, and it was negated because he went out of bounds. It was, you know, illegal touching.
And so you saw this late in the fourth quarter last week against Baltimore, where that game, you know, even though they were settling for field goals, it just felt like they were complete control of that game for the better part of three quarters, and then they charged it up there. I feel like if they're playing a better team, or at least a team that had a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson, or say the Patriots, they take advantage, they win that game. They just can't get the hell out of their own way, as impressive as they have been this season. And then there's another game you mentioned yesterday on Felger and Mazin, your weekly appearance.
Yes.
That also proved they still have that institutionalized stupidity in them, and it was against Denver earlier this year.
Yeah, it was against Denver. It was in November. I want to say it was November the 18th. I actually happened to be in L.A. for this. This is why I remember this. They were leading late at home against the Denver Broncos. Not a great team this year. They're up 22-20. Should have been up 23-20, but of course they missed an extra point. There's 2:30 to go. The Broncos used their last timeout. It's 2nd and 3. I forget the yard line. I think they're like, you know, at their own 40 or something. And 2nd and 3. So, you know, the game, they're in great shape. I mean, they should win this thing. They go to hand it off to Melvin Gordon. Gordon goes the wrong way. So they lose 4 yards on that one. So then on third down, Phillip Rivers wants to make sure they get the first down. So he audibles to a screen pass. Von Miller sniffs it out. So instead of just taking the sack and letting all that time run off the clock, Rivers drills the ball into the ground at the feet of Keenan Allen, stopping the clock. The Broncos end up going down and kicking the game-winning field goal with 3 seconds left, time that never should have been on the clock. Yeah. The Chargers lose that game, which ends up being the difference between them having home field throughout the playoffs and being the number five seed in the wild card.
Yeah, they just, as impressive as they've been this year, they still have that thing. And I didn't think that they did, but I can't take away what happened at the end of last week's game. Like that Charger thing is still there, it feels like.
I mean, how about the one, it's like situational awareness too. And how about the play where Derwin James tries to jump up and get the interception? And he lets...
Oh, the little lollipop.
Yeah. And so he lets... Not only does he give up the catch, which fine, okay, it's a first down, but now it's like a big play that puts him in the red. It's like, in that situation, if you're not absolutely sure you can get your
play the
hands
man, not
on
the ball.
It... Exactly.
And they were getting jobbed by some calls at some times, too. And so this is something I want to bring up. Their tackle, Russell Okung, got called for a phantom hold late in that game. And it felt like, oh, my God. Like, I wanted to be right about my picks.
Oh, that would have clinched the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a hold, though.
I don't know, man. But either way, after the game, Okung is kind of falling into Alex Jones conspiracy land where he says, you know, the NFL's trying to screw us because they don't want to see us back home hosting any playoff game or the AFC Championship game at a soccer stadium that holds close to 30,000 people. And I agree with him here. And this is why, if the Colts win today, watch the calls tomorrow. I got openly mocked by Felger and Nazan, I guess rightfully so, during the week when I said this because I sound like a kook. Like, Alex Jones, it's an NFL conspiracy. You saw this last year against the Jaguars. I'm sorry. The Patriots had one penalty in that game at home in that AFC Championship game. Well, the Jaguars had like 9 to the tune of almost 100 yards. That Miles Jack play.
Oh, that was a terrible call.
Oh, boy.
Ugh.
The NFL did not want to see the Jaguars in the Super Bowl. And good. You know, they're right to. And they don't want to have the Chargers host an AFC Championship game at a tiny soccer stadium. If the Colts win today, watch the calls benefit the Patriots tomorrow. I firmly believe that. And here's why I feel that good about it, too. This from Jason Lockenfora on CBSSports.com yesterday. He writes, there is concern within the NFL league office about the possibility of the Chargers playing host to the AFC Championship game within tiny Dignity Health Sports Park. I thought it was the StubHub
Center. They just changed the name.
Okay.
They just changed the name.
Anyway, according to league sources, contingency plans are expected to be discussed again this weekend should the Chargers and Colts advance, which would set up the Chargers as title game hosts. The AFC Championship game could end up being held in L.A. Coliseum with the possibility of a Sunday-Monday title game if the Rams are to advance there as well and host that game. I feel so vindicated because, okay, you can to me, yes, you can, from a standpoint of the size of the city and how many people live there, yes, you can have two teams in Los Angeles. They've done it before. They've also failed there. The Chargers never, ever should have moved to L.A. No one's ever going to care. Anyone that I know that lives out there, you have family that lives out there, ask them. No one cares. They're never going to care. That soccer stadium would be an embarrassment. It would be a black mark for the league. They don't want this to happen, and this story proves it. You can't have the AFC Championship game at a place that holds close to 30 grand. You can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a tough look. We'll see how it goes. I mean, it would be really sad, though, if they let that dictate, you know, what the situation is, you know, with the calls and all that. And maybe they would just end up playing at the call. I mean, there are other options there. The Coliseum, the Rose Bowl. There are other things that you could figure out.
Quickly on Brian Flores. It looks like he's going to end up the head coach of the Miami Dolphins whenever the Patriots season ends. This after more speculation that Josh McDaniels could be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. No, they go with Matt LaFleur. The Cleveland Browns.
Freddie Kitchens.
Ends up going with Freddie Kittens.
Kitchens?
Yeah, I know. I screwed it up on purpose.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Is that what you guys
No, I screwed it up during the headlines. I didn't know that.
Oh, you did?
And now we just, I said kittens.
So I had a
subconsciously.
Question. I had a question for you. Here's an aside. Is the San Diego thing, is that like Felger calling the Wizards the Bullets?
Or? Yes. Yeah, no. I keep calling them L.A. because I try to be proper and professional about it, but people keep screwing it up. So L.A., okay. San Diego.
But is it on, I couldn't tell, like, is this on purpose out of spite or they just don't care?
No, I don't think it was about spite. I just think that they don't, you know.
Okay.
They're still the San Diego Chargers to them. But Brian Flores ended up the head coach of the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think when you're in the position that Brian's in, and I think particularly for the African-American coaches in the league, you don't necessarily get to sort of pick and choose the job because if it were me, you know, I'm not sure that's a job that I would have taken. But when you get the opportunity and there's a team that wants to hire you, I'm not sure as an African-American assistant at this point in the league. I mean, 5 of the 8 coaches who were fired were African-American. There haven't been any hired officially yet. You know, Brian Flores, once he gets hired, will be the one. It's sort of challenging. And so I think it's a tough spot for him because I honestly think that Miami job might be the worst job out there.
Worse than Cincinnati?
I mean, look, the ownership in Cincinnati is bad, and how you feel about Dalton. But the AFC East, you have the Patriots in your division. Every other team in your division has settled their quarterback situation. It looks like Darnold can actually play. McDermott's a pretty good coach in Buffalo. I don't know what the deal is with Josh Allen. The expectations of the owner in Miami, I think, are even though he said, oh, we need to rebuild and everything, I don't think he really has the patience for that. That market certainly doesn't have the patience. You still got to figure out what you're going to do with the quarterback. I don't know really how good that roster is. Some of your pieces that are good, like Rashad Jones and Cameron Wake, are aging. I think that's a tough job. And I think it, to me, it just sort of speaks to the idea of, you know, when they call you and you have an opportunity and you're someone like Brian Flores, you can't really say no. Like, I don't think Brian Flores could get away with what Josh McDaniels got away with and then, you know, be a viable head coaching candidate again in terms of committing to a job and then, like, backing out of it. I think that's sort of the circumstance that a lot of these African-American coaches are in at this point. You got to take the job when they offer it to you.
Yeah, with Flores, it feels like this is a job that's set for failure, but maybe he accomplishes enough stuff that the second job,
exactly,
if he's given one,
yeah,
he's built up enough equity, and
yeah,
that's going to be the job he
and
has.
And look, you know, I like Brian. I hope he succeeds, you know, to a degree down there. Obviously, the Dolphins are in the division, but I think that is part of it. At least show that you can do the job.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like Todd Bowles, who, look, he didn't have a ton of success there, but I think people respect him. I think he could get another chance. So at least show you can do the job, and then there will be other opportunities down the line. But I think this job is the you know, maybe worst isn't the right word. I think it's the toughest of all the ones that were available, because there's just a lot of variables there, and I don't see a lot of solutions for the Dolphins.
No, at least from the rip, though, in terms of lifestyle and, you know, geographically, at least, is it's better than Cincinnati. That's the first thing I think of. You have to think about yourself and your family, and when you're not always at work. And I get it. Like, these guys eat, breathe, sleep these jobs.
Yeah, that Skyline Chili, right?
Oh yeah, Cincinnati.
One
of America's great hellholes. So I mean, I wish him the best. Though the thing I'm interested in, though, is whether or not he got the kiss from Belichick. You know, like, you don't want to hold a guy back. But, well, I mean, it's in the division. Do you think that Bill looks at this and is like, wait a minute, what? You're in the division? Like, is he going to be persona non grata?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, it's not like it's the Jets. I think that's the one where, you know, Bill gets really, you know, upset about it. And I think he understands probably the opportunity. The other thing, and why I think Brian could have some success, is that I think that he has his own sort of philosophy and personality. He's not like he's not like Matt Patricia, who I think is just basically trying to do like a Bill Belichick impression. And that's where a lot of these guys have gotten themselves in trouble. Even Josh McDaniels, who I think next time around will be much better and show his own personality. But the first time around in Denver, he tried to be like, you know, mini Belichick, and he rubbed a lot of people in that building the wrong way.
Let's go to Joe in the truck quickly on the Patriots and Chargers tomorrow. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, it's been well documented that the Patriots have had a hard time stopping the run this year. I think I read a couple articles after that Pittsburgh game that said that it was actually the worst run defense in, like, team history. One of the key players that's supposed to be stopping the run is Hightower. So my question is did he ever fully recover from his pec injury? Or is that – I mean, I don't know what any of the beat guys have heard. Or is he just kind of fat and happy and having an off year? Or is it the pec thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's fat and happy and having – you know, I think he's slowed down a little bit. He doesn't have quite the same lateral quickness and agility that he had before. I think that's kind of slowed him down. And you know, he's a bigger guy, obviously, at that linebacker position. And there's some elements of the league that have changed and sort of require more speed. So while he's certainly – still enormously physical, I think sometimes he's a guy you can run away from or run around.
Well, I know he's drawn the ire of one guy here at the Sports Hub. That would be Ted Johnson, who's going to be coming up with Christian Arkin. So you want an assessment on the play of Dante Hightower this year? Stay tuned for those guys coming up in just about 10 minutes, because he went in on him and other Patriots this week when he made his appearance on Felger and Mass, and it was awesome. Made national news what he was saying about Tom Brady and his concussion nonsense, too. Stay tuned for those guys. We have a long commercial-free segment coming up that will segue into Arkin and Johnson, but we have to wrap up our show with 5 questions that have for Chris Gasper that got nothing to do with sports. We'll do that next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.